See, and people will give me an A rating because they only can see what they can see. But I don't appeal to people when I ask for this search. The psalmist said that I should appeal to God. And I go to God and I say, God, search me. I want you to search me, God, because I know that you have an all-seeing eye. I want you to search me, God, because I know that your eye pierces through the flesh. It pierces through the muscles. It pierces through the bones. And according to Hebrews 4:12, it goes right down and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That God moves through all the lies clothes. He strips off the lies clothes in our lives. And God gets right down to the naked.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today as we continue in Psalms with the first half of a search for power blockages from Psalm 139. So if you have your Bible, please open it to Psalm 139 and let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of a search for power blockages.
This morning we're going to be looking at two passages of scripture, both in the Psalms. The first one will be in the 66th Psalm. But in the 66th Psalm, the psalmist says in verse 18, but if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. So the psalmist said, if there's something in my heart that is blocking my communication with God, then it's going to result in me living a powerless life. So if there's some kind of sin that's blocking God from hearing me, then the power of God will not be released in my life. But the psalmist said in verse 19, but verily God heard me and he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. That when he heard me, that he released his power into my life. And so this morning, I want to challenge us all that we would enter a search for power blockages. That we would begin to look at our lives and ask this question, you know, Lord, is there something in my life that's blocking communication between me and you? Is there something that's coming in the way of the power source that should be flowing from you unto me? The psalmist said in Psalm 139 in verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As we look at this psalm, the psalmist is crying out to God for God to do an examination of him. He's asking God to go down to the very core, not only his actions, but he's asking God to, Lord, even search my motives, Lord. Know my inner thoughts. Lord, know that which drives me. And if there's anything in me that's not pleasing to you, Lord, I pray that you would cleanse me of it. And I pray that you would lead me in the way everlasting. In your notes this morning, we give a little background to the psalm. And we see that in this psalm, because I'm a firm believer that we should take the word of God within its context, so I want us to be able to get the context this morning. In the word of God, in Psalm 139, David is meditating, like we talked about last week. He was meditating, and as David began to meditate, he wrote the 139th psalm. In his meditation, he meditated on three things. He meditated on the Lord's omniscience. In verses 1-6, he said, Lord, where can I go that you don't know about? Look at verse 2. You know my down-sitting and my uprising. You know me afar off. He said, there's nowhere I can go, Lord, that you don't know about me and that you don't know where I'm at. He talked about God's omnipresence. Once again, omniscience is God's all-knowing. Omnipresence is the fact that God is everywhere. And David said in verses 7 through 12 that he could not go anywhere to escape God's presence. He said, if I go to the mountains, you are there. He said, if I go down to the depths of the earth, that you are there. So this meditation, David's meditation, leads him to God's omniscience, God's omnipresence. And then finally, in verses 13 through 18, it leads him to God's omnipotence. And we talk about God's omnipotence, we are talking about him being all powerful. And David said, God, you are so powerful that not only did you create me, but you also planned my life. And as David meditated on the omniscience, the omnipresence, and the omnipotence of God, he now begins to, in his meditation, reflect on himself. And sometimes, saints, after we have meditated on God's omniscience, his omnipresence, and his omnipotence, we need to begin to just sit back a little bit and think about the greatness of God, and then we need to begin to meditate on ourselves. And David, as he meditated on himself, he said, search me, O Lord. He cries out for an examination. He cries out for God to search him, for God to look in his heart and reveal any wicked way that was within him. In our outline this morning, we have a three-point outline: a God-centered examination, a self-centered renunciation, and an action-centered dedication. Let's look, first of all, at a God-centered examination. David cries out. He says, search me. This word, search me, it refers to a diligent search. It refers to a probing search. It refers to a search that can sometimes be a little bit painful. You know, I'm fresh with illustrations. And one of my freshest illustrations is just this recent illness that I went through and these problems that I was having with my legs. And the doctor, every doctor I go to, they would look at the spot that was manifesting. And the one thing that every one of them would do is they would push it and they would ask, does that hurt? And one of the times I just wanted to go, yeah. But David is saying, search me. He's saying, probe me. And there are going to be areas when God begins to probe that they're going to hurt. Just like that doctor presses on that sore spot and it sends a pain sensation throughout your body. So it is that when we open ourselves up for God to search us, that he's going to hit some painful places in our life. And then we are forced to deal with those painful places. He said, try me. Try me. The word try actually means to test. And what he's saying is give me an examination so that you can prove what's in me. You can prove the qualities that are within me. The story is told about the truth and the lie. And the truth and the lie went swimming. They took off their clothes to go swimming. And the lie got out of the water before the truth got out. And so the lie put on the truth's clothes. And the lie began to go about in truth's clothing. And many people are living the lie in truth's clothing. The lie has got it blocked up. The lie has got it hindered. So we really can't see. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody pray with me this morning. We really can't see the truth because it's dressed up in the lie's clothing. But the truth looked, and the truth didn't have any clothes.
And the truth said, well, I don't want to put on the lies clothes. So guess what the truth did? It walked around naked. It walked around naked. And so everywhere the truth went, guess what you saw? The naked truth. So what does God do in this examination? God reveals to us what? The naked truth. We are forced to deal with the naked truth. And just like Pastor Cymbala said, that sometimes there are things that block the power. And we need to know the naked truth. And we need to be able to deal with those things that God points out in our life. And sometimes as he probes and as he pushes, it may be very painful. It may be some things that we are confronted to face that we don't want to face. And we've got the man up. We've got the woman up. And we've got to face the naked truth. The psalmist moves from the plea for the examination, and he moves to the person doing the examination. Look what he says in verse 23. Search me, O God. Search me, O God. Who is he appealing to? See, you know, one thing I realize, if I want to build my ego up, I can ask somebody else how I'm doing. Oh, you're doing a fine job. You're doing a fine job. Oh, you're doing a great job. Pip, pip, cheerio. Great job. It's just wonderful. See? And people will give me an A rating because they only can see what they can see. But I don't appeal to people when I ask for this search. The psalmist said that I should appeal to God. And I go to God and I say, God, search me. I want you to search me, God, because I know that you have an all-seeing eye. I want you to search me, God, because I know that your eye pierces through the flesh. It pierces through the muscles. It pierces through the bones. And according to Hebrews 4:12, it goes right down, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That God moves through all the lies clothes. He strips off the lies clothes in our lives, and God gets right down to the naked truth. And as we look at this, he appeals to God to do the examination. When was the last time you got before the Lord and you asked God to examine you? When was the last time you got before God and you asked God to search you? This past week, I was just troubled in my spirit, and then I began to ask the question, Lord, why is this illness lingering on so long? Lord, why will it not go away? And I just blocked off a period of time, and I just went before the Lord, and I began to search him. And all these thoughts began to come to my mind, and I just started writing down every one of them. Ended up writing down about 10 thoughts, 10 things as to why I'm still dealing with this. And as I began to pray, God just began to speak to my heart and began to reveal things to me. And there were some things I could just scratch right off because he just put in my spirit, no, that's not it. But now there's about 6 things left there, and I'm meditating on them, and I'm asking God to search me and reveal why it is. And you know what one of them was that God spoke to my heart about? God said, you may never know why you're going through this. And that's one of the things. So as I'm searching and I'm seeking God, that might be one of the answers is that your final answer? Is that you will never know. But I'm searching. I'm asking God to search me. And Lord, if there's anything in me that's causing this to linger on, Lord, show me. Search me, oh God. You search me and you show me. What is the place of the examination? He says 3 things. He says his heart, his thoughts, and his way. He says, search me and know my heart. The heart refers to your innermost being. It refers to your motives and your intentions. God, search me and know my intentions. God, search me
and know my motives. He said, know my thoughts. And you know what? The interesting thing is the New American Standard Version in the NIV, it says, know my anxious thoughts. And I began, what does he mean when he says, know my anxious thoughts? You know what that means? That means, Lord, if there's it, this was deep. If there's any thoughts in me right now that's going to lead to a negative, evil pattern of living, then you deal with them right now. Lord, deal with it while it's a thought, before it ushers itself into a pattern or way of life. Know my anxious thoughts. Lord, know those thoughts that are just incubating. Know those thoughts that are just being developed in my mind. And Lord, help me to be able to pull those thoughts in so that they will not lead to patterns and ways of life. Every sex addict, every mass murderer, it all started with a thought. It started with a thought. Somehow there was a thought that entered their mind, and they developed that thought. And that thought began to run away with them. And that thought actually began to do what? That thought began to shape their pattern of life. That thought began to shape their way of living. I was watching a Christian psychologist on TV last week. And he was talking about the fact that, well, let me say this. That every day we have, and I you remember last week I said, you know, I wonder exactly how many thoughts is it that we have every day. Well, you know what? The Lord is good. Because I didn't even go search it on the internet or anything. I was watching a program, and they happened to make reference to the very question that I asked last week. How many thoughts do we have every day? And the fact is, somebody figured it out. Now, I was coming up short. Last week I said at least 10,000. But they said that the average person has 60,000 thoughts a day. 60,000 thoughts a day. Now, once again, you know, those are thoughts like, you know, what am I going to eat? You know, how am I going to do this? 60,000. But they went on to say that 45,000 of our thoughts are negative thoughts. And I was like, whoa, that's pretty deep. And so the point that the individual was making is that if you dwell on any thought for over 30 seconds, it's going to stick in your mind. So you've got, within the first 30 seconds of that thought being in your mind, you've got to somehow disengage with that thought. You've got to somehow move away from that thought, because if you let it stay in there for 30 seconds, it's going to become a part of your mind. And so the psalmist says here, Lord, search me. And if there are any anxious thoughts, if there are any thoughts that within that first 30 seconds that are developing, that's going to cause this to be a way of life for me, Lord, show me right then and let me get rid of it. Don't let these thoughts linger in my mind. Because if you let them linger, they lead to negative patterns of behavior. And negative patterns of behavior lead to destructive ways of life. So the psalmist said, Lord, know my heart, know my thoughts. And then he says, see if there be any wicked way. The word way refers to the path of life that somebody would travel. The psalmist says, Lord, don't let my life set up wicked grooves. Don't, you have, they said that there was a sign somewhere up in Alaska, and it was like a bunch of, you know, grooves and divots in the road. And it says, at the beginning of the road, it says, choose your rut carefully, because you'll be in it for the next 100 miles. Choose your rut carefully, because you'll be in it for the next 100 miles. What is the psalmist saying? Choose your thoughts carefully, because they will direct your way, and you will be in it not only for the next 100 miles, but you will be in it for a lifetime. The psalmist says, Lord, see if there be any wicked way, any way in me that's leading, that's going to cause me to get in a rut, that I'm going to be following a pattern of life for the next 20, 30, even a lifetime, years. The psalmist cries out, know my heart, know my thoughts, and know my way. Know my way that I'm going. A God-centered examination. Then he moves to a self-centered renunciation. In verse 24, he said, and if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting. He said, Lord, if you see anything in my thoughts, if you see anything in my heart, he said, if you see anything in my way, Lord, take me out of that way and lead me in the way that's everlasting. Oh, God, don't let me get caught up in these negative patterns of life, because what they do is they block my prayer life. Lord, that when I get in these negative ways, that then the power is cut off between me and you. So, Lord, show me of anything in my life that's going to stop the flow of power between me and you. In your notes, I'd ask that you read along with me. I have a quote in there from Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Prince of Preachers. He's written a commentary on the Psalms. It's called The Treasury of David. And Spurgeon says this about this self-centered renunciation. He said, see whether there be in my heart or in my life any evil habit unknown to myself. If there be any evil way, take it from me. Take it from me, no matter how dear the wrong may have become, nor how deeply prejudiced I may have been in his favor. Be pleased to deliver me from there altogether, effectually and at once, that I may tolerate nothing which is contrary to thy mind. As I hate the wicked in their way, so would I hate every wicked way in myself. Now, if you go back to verse 18 or verse 19, look what he says. Surely, in Psalm 139, surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? Am I not grieved with those who rise up against thee? I hate them with a perfect hatred. I count them as enemies. And then what did Spurgeon say? Spurgeon said, with the same hatred I have toward those people that take your name in vain, that don't like you, the same hatred, what did he say? Let me hate any wicked. The same hatred that I have for that person that takes your name in vain, that cries out against you, that wicked person who is bloodthirsty, that wicked person who is devouring the righteous, Lord, the same hatred that I have for that individual, Lord, let me have the same hatred for any wicked way in me. But you know, Lord, that man, they're so evil, they're so wicked, but I'm such a good person. I'm such a great individual. And then we wonder why our prayers are not being answered. We wonder why our prayers are blocked. And God is looking at our hearts, and there's some wickedness in our heart, and God is trying to get us to.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of A Search for Power Blockages from Psalm 139. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Search for Power Blockages, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Search for Power Blockages. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Search for Power Blockages, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.